Well, today, brethren, as I'm sure you will agree, this is a very special day, a very special day. But for us Canadians, this past Monday was something of a special day too. Monday, October the 10th, was Canada's Thanksgiving Day. Now, last Monday, my family and I, we were en route to the feast, so we didn't get much of a chance to celebrate Canada's Thanksgiving Day. So we had a little dinner with our family members down in Tacoma, Washington there, but that was about it. In the United States, Thanksgiving doesn't arrive, as you know, for another month or two. After the Canadian version this year, November the 24th is the United States Thanksgiving. That's about 6 weeks from now. I want to talk about Thanksgiving today and on the last great day as well. I want to read just a few short excerpts from the Canadian Encyclopedia. I bet you didn't know there was a Canadian Encyclopedia, but there is. From an article on the subject of Thanksgiving Day. Thanksgiving Day was proclaimed as a day of general thanksgiving to Almighty God for the bountiful harvest with which Canada has been blessed. Now, we're all very well aware that God's people are not to participate in the majority of the world's holidays, but here is one holiday that we really can, if we observe it in the right spirit, that we can celebrate. Again, as long as we keep it in the right spirit. Continuing in this article from the Canadian Encyclopedia, Thanksgiving draws upon three traditions. Number one, the harvest celebrations in European peasant societies, for which the symbol was the cornucopia, the horn of plenty, which we have used at the Feast of Tabernacles in times past as a symbol of God's blessings. Number two, the formal observances, such as that celebrated by Sir Martin Frobisher, who was an English mariner and explorer, in the Eastern Arctic in 1578, and that was the first North American Thanksgiving. And then, more well known to our American cousins, number three, the Pilgrim celebration of their first harvest in Massachusetts in 1621, involving the uniquely American turkey, squash, and pumpkin. So in the past, God's people, again, frequently used the cornucopia as a decoration in the Feast of Tabernacles celebrations. And Canadian feastgoers occasionally, sometimes, enjoy Thanksgiving dinners together when the day falls within the Feast of Tabernacles, which it sometimes does. And also on the last great day of the feast, that's traditionally the day when we say thank you to everybody who's striven to and worked to make the feast an enjoyable success. We do that every year. So in the sermonette today, the main purpose of the sermonette and on the last great day as well is to simply to tell you why and how God's people should give thanks to him. And again, I want to assure you, in everything that I say here, there's never any push to, we're not trying to get you to dig deeper into your pockets or to increase the amount of your offering. That's not the point at all. It's when we give an offering, we give it to God in great, grateful thanksgiving for everything that he's given to us. Now, first off, though, I want to make sure that I tie the sermonette subject in with on Thanksgiving and thankfulness with Warren Zerung's main theme of this year's feast, which is Rivers of Living Waters. Rivers of Living Waters. And one of the many things that we're going to hear in the sermonettes and sermons over the coming week is all about the wonderful blessing of physical rivers of living water in our modern Israelite nations. Now, I know that some of you have endured drought conditions in some of your areas over this past summer. But generally, God's people, the physical Israel, where we live, the places where we live, are blessed with much water. But also, of course, what we're learning about this week is spiritual rivers of living waters in spiritual Israel, and how we should be very appreciative to God for them. Please turn to Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah chapter 51. There's just one verse here, verse 3. Isaiah 51, verse 3. For the Lord, the Eternal, shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving. That's what we want to concentrate on. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. How will the Eternal God transform Zion's waste places, wildernesses and deserts into gardens like the Garden of Eden? Well, partially through the inflow of fresh water. You need lots of fresh water for a nice garden. In that wonderful day, God's people will raise their voices. We will raise our voices in songs of thanksgiving and joy and gladness and blessing to God. And this is spoken about in Psalm 68. Let's turn back there. Psalm 68. Psalm 68. Psalm 68 and verse 26. Bless God in the congregations, even the Eternal from the fountain of Israel. From the fountain of Israel. This is a psalm of David, and David suggests here that we are to bless God with sincere thanksgiving during the feast, obviously, but every day of the year. We need to remember that. Now, as I just said, that our modern Israelite nations are so blessed with ample water supplies, one of our collective nicknames for physical Israel might rightly be the Fountain of Israel, as mentioned in the psalm here. But again, in addition to the physical, both of these verses can also be applied to spiritual Israel, God's church, and spiritual water supplies, the Holy Spirit. So just how and why should we give thanks to God? And this might seem like a silly question to many of the brethren who have been in the Church of God for many, many years. But brethren, ingratitude is a disease. Ingratitude is a disease that's creeping into our societies more and more. And there's a real danger of it, because we have to rub shoulders with the world. There's a real danger of it rubbing off on us, on God's children, and especially in the last days. Please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, very well known end time scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And verses 1 and 2. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. And this, brethren, I'm sure you'll agree, this is a vivid and accurate description of today's Western societies. And, you know, I'm ashamed to say it, but it's true. You go in a restaurant or a store and you listen to the children. Especially, you go in a restaurant and it's an absolute disgrace to our nation's brethren to hear children and adults as well, seemingly devoid of the basic elements of common courtesy. They seem to get the idea somehow that it's not macho to say please or thank you to the waitress or the store clerk. The average Canadian or American acts today as though all these good things in life are owed to him. And the advertisers know this, and they take advantage of this proclivity. Just when next time you're watching commercial TV, or you read in the newspaper, on the radio, look at the ads there. And so many of them say, you deserve this, or you deserve that. So back to Mr. Average in the United States and Canada. There's a lack of thankfulness to God, and that's manifest. And they make it manifest by their refusal to offer prayers of thanksgiving before meals, or they have a complete ignorance of the requirement to give offerings to God, tithes and offerings, and to worship him on his Sabbaths and his holy days. And for many or most in our countries, even the Thanksgiving days themselves have lost their real original meanings and have become mere excuses for more partying, reveling, and getting. Now Jesus Christ, our Savior and our elder brother, was very dismayed, and you know the story, after he healed 10 lepers, only one of them made any effort to thank him. And by the way, this was a despised semi-Gentile Samaritan. Please turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 and verse 12. As he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger, this foreigner. And he said unto him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you whole. So 90% of this group of lepers were ungrateful. And they used God, in effect, they used God rather than thanking him and praising him. What would our percentage be, brethren? How often do we pray for healing? And how often do we remember to thank God after he heals us, after he answers our prayers? Even with little things that we ask him for, it's always good to thank him when he does respond. Ingratitude and selfishness is very harmful to us, for us, both individually and collectively, as God's people. If you do a detailed study on the many relevant scriptures in this regard, you'll see that ingratitude is a major factor in contributing to moral decadence of our societies today, and what amounts to the crumbling culture of our nations. Ingratitude produces vain imaginations and foolish hearts, God's word says. Ingratitude is harmful to us, to our spiritual, moral, mental, and ultimately even our physical health. Ingratitude wars against the permanent, eternal, spiritual things of God. And ingratitude is even part of the reason for the apostasy in the true Church of God. Please turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Even those people in the world who have not been called into God's church, they have no excuse when they look at the wonders of the heavens and the wonderful the mountains and the oceans and consider that. Verse 21, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. That's important. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. He's jumped down to verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers. So evidently, Paul was writing here about a group of people who had known God, had known God's truth, and even practiced his way of life, but were not thankful for it. That was the element that was missing, that they were not thankful for God's way of life. They rejected it, and as a result, they apparently returned to the ways of the world. So, just one more verse here. Please turn to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17. And just let's just touch on this briefly. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17. And just this one verse, brethren. Because you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and know not that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So it's evident that God looks up upon the sin of ingratitude as Laodicean in nature. And that makes sense, because it's a selfish and thankless and ungrateful person who says or thinks, I'm rich and increased with goods. I'm a self-made man. I've earned it all by my own hard work and ingenuity. I've nothing to thank God for or anyone else for. And against this kind of thing, God takes a very serious view of ingratitude because of what it can lead to ultimately. So brethren, I know that sounds a bit of a negative view of thankfulness. I'll come back on the last great day and turn it round and look at the opposite to this in a much more positive vein in the last great day offering. What we've looked at today is ingratitude, anti-thankfulness, and on the last great day we'll look at thankfulness.